tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life from Durban, South Africa, and wherever you are watching from, whichever part of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep you in the best health and iman. Ameen. Bijahil Nabiyil Ameen. Dear viewers, inshallah, today we are going to discuss the excellence of knowledge, especially the Islamic knowledge. Before we do that, let's first of all recite Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in narration that whoever recites Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that he will be closest to me on the day of judgment who recites the most of salat upon me in the world. Subhanallah. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, knowledge, which is our subject of discussion today, is the legacy of the blessed Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. They didn't leave behind money, assets, properties, but they rather left behind the knowledge, subhanallah. The same knowledge which our pious predecessors, they obtained. Same knowledge which the Sahaba Ikram, they obtained. They acquired from the Anbiya, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and spread it throughout the world, alhamdulillah. The same legacy of the Anbiya, which was acquired by the pious predecessors, Awliya Allah, such as Sayyidina Ghawsipak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, Al-ulama'u warasatul Anbiya, that the scholars, they are the inheritors, heirs of the prophets. Because they inherit the knowledge, subhanallah. And it is also mentioned in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the scholars of my ummah, they are like the prophets of Bani Israel, subhanallah. So yes, this legacy of knowledge that is left behind by the blessed Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the ulama, the people of knowledge, the men of knowledge, they inherit it. Knowledge is the way of gaining closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it is a tool using which in a proper manner one can gain the nearness and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah azza wa jal, provided that we truly do justice to it, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Knowledge is the source of guidance. Yes, this knowledge that is obtained, it is a source of guidance, subhanallah. Many are guided through this knowledge. Knowledge is the source of protection from sins, because in order to protect ourselves from sins, knowledge gives us the understanding what is a sin and how dangerous is the sin. Therefore, it motivates us to stay away and abstain from those sins. Knowledge is a great method of developing Allah's fear. Yes, knowledge is the way of developing the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah azza wa jal states in the glorious Quran, He teaches us that truly the ulama, they fear Allah azza wa jal. And knowledge is the source of attaining respect in this world and in the hereafter. Subhanallah. You've seen the men of knowledge, how they are respected in the community, in the society. Every way they go, they are respected because of their deep understanding of Islam. Subhanallah. You have seen muhaddithin, mufassirin, muftiyan-e-kiram. and how they are respected throughout the world. It is because they have the knowledge about Kitabullah, Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, and so on, subhanAllah. And it is also a means of attaining respect, not only in this world, but in the hereafter as well. In the hereafter, subhanAllah, the ulama are given high stations, according to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they are given much higher station and lofty station than other dwellers of paradise. SubhanAllah. Knowledge brings dead hearts back to life. Yes. Knowledge is light and it brings dead hearts to life. Knowledge protects the iman. Yes. Knowledge about the basic articles of faith, tenets of faith, preamble of faith. All of this, knowledge about the beliefs and the aqaid of Islam, this protects the iman. If you don't know what to believe in, then it will be very hard to safeguard the iman. But once you know our beliefs, what is it that we believe in? What are the basic tenets of Islamic faith? And so on. Once we study it, inshallah, azza wa jal, and safeguard it in our hearts, that will protect the iman, inshallah, azza wa jal. So now, we have a wonderful kalam for you to listen to, inshallah, azza wa jal. We are going to listen to the kalam, and thereafter we'll be back and continue with our today's topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him."
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Poochega maula laya hai kya kya, poochega maula laya hai kya kya, main ye kahunga naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
When Allah will ask, "What have you brought?" I will then say, "The name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam."
Daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, kar lo wazifa naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, mujhko sunana naam-e Muhammad,
دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Apne raza ke qurban jao, murshid piya ke qurban jao, jisne sikhaya naame Muhammad dil ka ujala. نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویورز. سبحان اللہ, واٹ اے ونڈرفل کلام. آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد, دل کا اجالا نام محمد. سبحان اللہ. یور ویورز, ایز وی آر ڈسکسنگ دی ایکسلنس آف نالج, دس ریگارڈ دیر از اے بیوٹیفل پیرابل وے سیدنا عبد Wahab bin Atta Khaffaf rahimahullah ta'ala has said that during Umayyad Caliphate, Sayyidina Abu Abdirrahman Farooq rahimahullah ta'ala went to Khurasan to guard the borders while his wife was expecting. And he rahimahullah left 30,000 dinars with his wife. When he returned to Madinah Munawwara after 27 years, he reached his home and he tried to open the door by pushing it with his spear. Sayyidina Rabi'ah, rahimahullah, he came out of the house. As he saw an armed man, he furiously said, "O Allah's servant, do you want to attack my home?" Sayyidina Farooq, rahimahullah, replied, "No, I do not want to attack. You tell me, how dare you enter my house?" Then they both started to have an argument. Their neighbors intervened and they stopped fighting. When Sayyidina Malik bin Anas rahimahullah ta'ala and other people knew about it, they immediately came, and upon the interruption of Sayyidina Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Abdirrahman Farooq rahimahullah, he said to him that, "My name is Farooq and it is my home." His wife, who was listening to the entire conversation behind the door, recognized him and said, "He is my husband. Rabia is his son. Rabia was in my womb when he left home in the path of Allah." Having heard this, both the father and the son, they embraced each other. Subhanallah. After having a meal and taking rest, Sayyidina Abu Abdirrahman rahimahullah asked his wife, "Where are the 30,000 dinars which I had left behind?" She humbly replied that, "I have buried it somewhere and will take it out after some days." In the meantime, Sayyidina Rabi'ah rahimahullah went to conduct an Islamic class in the masjid and started giving the dars of hadith. When Sayyidina Farooq rahimahullah went to the masjid, saw a group of students who were gaining Islamic knowledge with great respect and attention, and a handsome young man was teaching them. He asked people, "Who is he imparting the knowledge?" People said, "He is Rabi'ah, son of Abu Abdirrahman." Having heard this, he became very happy and said, "What a great status Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed my son with." He then went back to his home and said to his wife, "Today I have seen your son's great status. He is the ocean of Islamic knowledge." His wife said, "Do you want your 30,000 dinars or this greatness and loftiness of your son?" He replied, "I swear to Allah Azza wa Jal, I do not want anything in return for this great blessing." His wife then said, "Then listen to me. I spent all the dinars on your son to provide him with Islamic knowledge. Having heard this, he rahimahullah said, by Allah, you did not waste my money, but rather spent it for a worthy cause. Subhanallah. Imagine, so much of money was spent to educate his son, subhanallah, 30,000 dinars, gold coins. Allahu Akbar. Today, it should give us the mindset that we should spend and spare no cost when it comes to our children's education. Inshallah, azawajal, inculcating the Islamic knowledge in them, you know, and encouraging them by giving them the money for their fees, enrollment, and so on and so forth, for the accommodation, for the, you know, hostel fees, etc. Inshallah, azza wa jal, in Darul Uloom, in Jami'ah. So they can pursue this Islamic path of knowledge that the pious predecessors would spare no cost. 30,000 gold coins. It is no small money. Allahu Akbar. And here this great woman, she, who was the wife of Sayyidina Farrukh rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Abdirrahman Farrukh rahimahullah, she spent it all on the education of her son. 30,000 dinars. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, it is mentioned about him. His father, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala ali's father, subhanallah, a great person, a personality, who was not an alim, who was not a learned person, but he would love to join the company of learned men. And whenever he would see an orator giving Islamic discourse, he would have this heartfelt wish and desire that inshallah, my son one day should become an orator like that. And when he would sit in the company of fuqaha and the Islamic jurists and would see them solving intricate Islamic matters, he would then wish that inshallah, azza wa jal, my son must become a faqih, a jurist of Islam. Subhanallah. And he had two children, Imam Ghazali and his brother. And before he passed away, whatever savings that he has had in his life, he put all that aside for the education of his children. And he made the arrangements for the education. And he left this money with somebody to take care of their educational life. Subhanallah. So after he passed away from this world, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala and his brother, they continued to pursue the path of Islamic knowledge. And one day, due to the same money that the father had left for their education, they were looked after by that money. And they had pursued the Islamic knowledge, subhanAllah, to the extent when Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala became the great leader of all the men of knowledge, subhanAllah. So yes, who doesn't know about the greatness and the status of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala in the field of knowledge, in the field of Islamic knowledge, subhanAllah. He was also a great jurist. Allahu Akbar. If you read his world famous Ihya Ulumuddin, you would know what a great masterpiece that is. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala, this is how he became Imam Ghazali. Because the father had a strong desire to groom his children into becoming ulama, subhanallah. And he had made arrangements for that. So we should also spare no cost when it comes to the education of our children. From this parable of Sayyidina Abu Abdirrahman Farrukh rahimahullah ta'ala and his son Sayyidina Rabi'a radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, we learn and we understand that Islamic knowledge is a great blessing, and surely it is a great privilege to spend money for gaining Islamic knowledge. It used to be the thought of our pious predecessors. That's why the mother of Sayyidina Rabi'a rahimahullah ta'ala, this was the reason that she spent a large amount of money on his education and upbringing. When the father of Sayyidina Rabi'a rahimahullah ta'ala knew about it, that his son attained a great status after gaining Islamic knowledge, spending his money, So he, instead of becoming angry, he became happy and told his wife, "You did not waste my money, but rather spent it on a very good cause." Therefore, we should not only gain Islamic knowledge ourselves, but should also provide our children with it. Islamic knowledge has great virtues. The virtue of knowledge, and Islamic scholars have been mentioned at many places in the glorious Quran. Let's inshallah azza wa jalla learn its importance from the Holy Quran. It is stated in verse number 18 of Surah Ali Imran, where Allah azza wa jalla states, "Allah has testified that there is none worthy of worship but Him. And so did the angels and those of knowledge while maintaining justice." The father of Allah, Hazrat Mufti Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, has said, three virtues of knowledge are proven by this blessed verse. Number one, Allah Azza wa Jalla has made the mention of Islamic scholars with Himself and the angels. Number two, He Azza wa Jalla has also made Islamic scholars the witness of His oneness like angels, and declared their testimony to be evidence of Him being the one who is worthy to be worshipped. And number three, the testimony of them, meaning these Islamic scholars, has also been considered to be authentic like the testimony of the angels. Similarly, at another place in the Holy Quran, the glory and greatness of scholars have been stated, and Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that Allah will raise the excellent believers amongst you and those who are given knowledge to high ranks. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma has stated that the status of Islamic scholars will be elevated 700 times more than the status of ordinary believers. And there is a distance of 500 years between the two levels. Just ponder over the fact that if an ordinary Muslim is blessed with paradise, although it will be sufficient for him, but they feel envious at the fortune of an Islamic scholar who will not only be blessed with paradise, but his status will also be elevated 700 times more than the status of ordinary believers in paradise. The excellence of Islamic knowledge, dear viewers, is clearly understood from this verse of the Holy Quran. And there are a number of ahadith that signify the virtues of Islamic knowledge. Let's inshallah azza wa jalla listen to some ahadith in this regard to realize the importance of Islamic knowledge, and also to encourage our children, relatives and friends to acquire the knowledge of Islam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, "The person who leaves his home to gain Islamic knowledge is in the path of Allah azza wa jalla until he returns." In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "The one who learns one or two or three or four or five words about the faraid and the obligatory acts of Allah azza wa jalla and memorizes them properly and then teaches them to people will enter paradise." And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Allah azza wa jalla will resurrect bondmen on the day of judgment. He, Azza wa Jal, will separate Islamic scholars and say to them, 'O group of Islamic scholars, I know you, that's why I bestowed knowledge upon you. And I did not give you knowledge for making you suffer torment. Go, I have forgiven you.'" Subhanallah. So this is the virtue of Islamic knowledge in the light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, it's been understood from these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that acquiring the knowledge of Islam is a means by which one would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a source of forgiveness and salvation, guarantee of entering paradise. Subhanallah, how great the virtues of Islamic knowledge are. Likewise, our Ghaus-e-Pak Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala ali had reached Baghdad in his childhood for gaining Islamic knowledge with the permission of his mother. And we all know about this journey of Sayyidina Ghaus-e-Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, how passionate he was about acquiring the knowledge of Islam, subhanAllah. That he, at a very early age, he left his homeland for further studies, and he had to overcome many obstacles, Allahu Akbar. But he still persevered through all those obstacles. There would be times when his caravan was robbed. Yes, the caravan that he was traveling with, it was robbed by the rogues at the time. And when they came to him, they asked him, have you got anything with you? He said, yes, I've got 40 coins with me. And they said, perhaps he is mocking them. So they said that this is no time to ridicule. Are you ridiculing us? He said, no, I'm telling you the truth. And once again, another robber came and asked him. He said the same thing. So he took him to their leaders, their leader who was there. So the leader asked, do you really have 40 coins with you? He said, yes. He said, where is it? He said, my mother had sewn it on the inside of my waistcoat that I'm wearing. And when he took out, there were really 40 coins, subhanAllah. He said, what compelled you to reveal it to us? He said, well, you asked me, what have you got with you? So I told you what I have with me. I didn't lie about it, because when I was leaving home, my mother told me never to tell a lie. And I am, alhamdulillah, following my mother's advice. And I'm being obedient to her. When the leader of the robbers, he heard this, he broke into tears. He said, we have been disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for so long. We cannot keep even one promise that we made to him. And here you are honoring the one promise that you gave your mother, subhanallah. And they all repented on the hands of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala. Along with him, all the other followers that he had, the other robbers that were there, they all repented on the hand of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, subhanallah. So look at the sincerity of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala in the path of knowledge. And he reaches Baghdad Sharif. When he reaches there, there were times when he didn't have food to eat, but he persevered through all of this. Nothing could deter him from his mission, from his enthusiasm to gain Islamic knowledge. And then at the end, he says, when he reached that lofty station of wilaya and sainthood, he said, "Darastu al-ilma hatta sirtu qutuban," that I studied, I continued to study until I became a great high-ranking wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a qutub, Allahu Akbar. So yes, Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and his journey of knowledge. Sheikh Sadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would also go in pursuit of knowledge. And one day, whilst he is walking, because he didn't have horses, he didn't have a horse, he didn't have a camel to travel on, so he had to walk barefoot. And there came a time when his shoes, because of excessive walking and different terrain that he had to cross, his shoes broke. And then after that, after his shoes broke, he started walking bare feet without any shoes. And there came a time when, because of hot surface, scorching sun, and he had to walk in the heat, his feet underneath, his sole got blisters. And he still continued to take this journey in pursuit of knowledge, in the path of knowledge of Islam, knowledge of Allah. And there came a time when those blisters, they started to burst. And it caused him great pain and suffering. So he sat down because he couldn't take the pain. And he sat down, he said, "Oh Allah, I am traveling in your path. I wish I had a camel. I wish I had a horse like other people have in the caravan. So I would also be able to travel and my feet wouldn't bleed, my blisters wouldn't bust out. And I wouldn't be suffering like this if I had money, if I had means." And then while he was saying this, he saw a person who was dragging himself on his knees because both his feet were amputated. When he saw that, he immediately took all of his words back. And he said, "Oh Allah, please forgive me. I should have been grateful. This man, I'm looking at him, he doesn't even have his feet to begin with. Allahu Akbar. At least I have feet. Subhanallah, my feet, there's nothing wrong with them. Allahu Akbar." And he got up and continued on the journey. Subhanallah. These are the enthusiasm. These are the journeys of our pious predecessors in the path of knowledge. There were Sahaba. If they would hear that there is a hadith, somebody has a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to take that hadith, to narrate that hadith, they would travel across the country, subhanallah, go to another country altogether, just for the purpose of listening to the hadith and come back. Sayyidina Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, look at his enthusiasm and his determination to gain the knowledge of Islam, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would travel for days to collect and narrate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, his enthusiasm, subhanallah. Somebody asked him, "How long are you going to carry on like this to learn?" He said, "Until death, until I die." And we should learn from these pious predecessors what it means to persevere in the path and to really progress in the path of learning and acquiring the knowledge of Islam. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyi Labeen. Dear viewers, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, a great personality, a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mujaddid of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, also started gaining Islamic knowledge since his childhood. He completed the Nazira of the Holy Quran at a very young age of 4 years and 6 months. And then just at the age of 13 years, 10 months and 4 days, he, Rahimahullah, completed his studies in all the subjects generally studied in his era from his respected father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, and received the certification of completion. From these events, it's been understood that our pious predecessors, they used to make provisions for their children's Islamic education from their early childhood, giving good upbringing to our children. We should also try to provide Islamic knowledge to our children. It is extremely necessary to give children proper upbringing as per Sunnah, so they can be made righteous and be protected from the hell. In the verse 6 of Surah Tahrim, Allah Azza wa Jal, he states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O believers, save yourselves and your families from the hellfire. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, all of you are chiefs and rulers of your family members, and on the day of judgment, every one of you will be asked about his dependents. Feeling the sense of responsibility, we as parents should take care of the good upbringing of the children. They should make them offer salah, observe sawm regularly. We should also make them aware of shari commands and obligatory and wajib acts, halal and haram, sale and purchase, and the rights of people, etc. We should remember that after death, nothing will help but good deeds. Our wealth, the bank balance we have, the beautiful buildings, cars, worldly status and ranks, it will all be left behind. It will be all left here. None of them will go with us into our graves. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, when a person dies, all his deeds are discontinued except for three deeds. Number one, sadaqah jariyah, permanent source of divine reward. Number two, the knowledge from which benefits are obtained. And number three, righteous children who make dua for him. What brings a permanent source of reward is the continuous charity, propagation of Islamic knowledge, and righteous children through which one continues to receive the reward even after death. Therefore, get ready to provide your children with Islamic education and get them enrolled in Jamiatul Madina, inshallah. Dear viewers, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered him choices, wealth and knowledge and kingdom of the entire world. He chose the second option. And when he chose the knowledge, the second option, through the blessings of this knowledge, he gained wealth and kingdom of the entire world. Subhanallah, subhanallah, how wonderful is that? Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, for example, was given excellence over the angels through his knowledge of the names of things. Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that name these things, these items that are in front of you. And they couldn't. They said that, Ya Allah, glory be to you. We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. Allahu Akbar. And this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had proven the excellence of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam over the angels, because Allah azza wa jal had taught Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam the names of things. Yes. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. And the Mufassirin have mentioned that in this verse, there is an indication that Allah azza wa jal had taught Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam all the languages of the world at the same time. Subhanallah. Ilm al-Adunni of Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam made him qualified enough to be the teacher of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Yes, Allahu Akbar. This is the excellence of knowledge. The knowledge of dream interpretation made Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam the king of Egypt. Yes. The background of this parable is that Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, he had 12 brothers, and they were envious of him, they were jealous of him, because the father Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam used to love Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam and used to pay him more attention. So they were jealous of him, and as a result, they conspired against Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. For the brothers, they told the father, they sought permission from him that they are going on hunting outside and they want to take their brother with them, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. So the father, he allowed them. He said, all right, go. And then when they reached a well, they pushed Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam and they threw him in that well to get rid of him. And they took his garment and they killed one animal and put his blood onto the shirt of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, the kurta of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. And after doing that, they brought it back home. And they told the father that the wolf came and ate, injured Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. And it was a sad occasion. The father had lost his son. But however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. There was a caravan that was moving past this well, and they noticed Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam there. So they rescued him from there and they enslaved him. He was made into a slave and then he was sold in Egypt. So when he was sold in Egypt, the king of Egypt bought him. And afterwards, due to some allegations, false allegations that were made against Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he was put into prison. But even in the prison, he used to spread knowledge, subhanallah. And people would come to interpret their dreams, and he was an expert of dream interpretation, subhanallah. So one day the king had a dream, and he had a weird dream about 7 cows and so on. And he couldn't understand what is the meaning of this dream. So he consulted his courtiers, and none of them could give him a satisfactory answer. And somebody pointed it out that there is a prisoner, referring to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, who is an expert of dream interpretation. If you want, we can bring him and he can interpret your dream for you. So when Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was brought to the king told him that this is the dream that I have. What is the meaning of it? Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam told the king that it means that for the next 7 years, there will be a lot of vegetation, a lot of growth, a lot of greenery will grow, a lot of crops will grow, subhanallah. They will be flourishing. And thereafter, the following 7 years, after that, after the initial 7 years, the following 7 years, there will be drought, there will be famine, no crops will grow, and people would be living hand to mouth. So the king said, this is a situation. This is a terrible state of situation. So if you have the knowledge of what's to come, then you will also have the solution for it. Yes, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam proposed the solution that, you know, we should actually make a storage and save some of the crops that are grown for the next 7 years to keep it and to distribute and to give to people for the following 7 years when there will be no growth. And due to his wisdom, the king of Egypt, he put him on the throne, subhanAllah. He put Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam on the throne. Knowledge of dream interpretation made Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam the king of Egypt. He who knows the value of knowledge will never part with it, will never ever part with it, even if the wealth of both worlds is handed to him. The one who knows the value of knowledge. Subhanallah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, about him and about one of his students, he says, there was a poor man who came to the royal court of the king to seek employment. The king refused to employ him by telling him that he was not qualified to do the job. He later on sought knowledge at the feet of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, and learned about the dark truth of running after the world and begging to a king. And one day, the same king summoned him. And after realizing his great abilities, the king now offers to him that he was now a good fit for the job. He even gave him the authority to choose whichever position he desired. But the man replied, do you remember, I was of no use to you then. And now, you are of no use to me. You rejected me then, and I reject you now. Subhanallah. Yes, when once you realize the true potential of knowledge, then you don't run after the world. Love of the world leaves your heart. That is the value and the benefit of obtaining the true and the sacred knowledge of Islam. And in this parable, there is a great lesson for all of us, inshallah, that we should strive to acquire and attain the knowledge of deen. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises us that rise in the morning in a state that you are either an alim, if not, at least you are a student, or mutaalliman, ughdu aliman, or mutaalliman, or muhabban, or you are a person who loves an alim adin, or mustami'an, or you are someone who listens to the alim. And if not, then don't be the fifth one. So these are the four options that we have been given. We can either become an alim or a student of knowledge, or we could be the one to sit in the company of ulama and listen to them, or at least we should love and revere the ulama and scholars. We shouldn't be the fifth one, no matter what the fifth one is. We have been given four options in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what happens? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, don't be the fifth one. وَلَا تَكُنِ الْخَامِسَ فَتَهْلِكَ. Because then you will be destroyed. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, among us want to be destroyed? We don't want to be destroyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the path of knowledge. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Ameen. And now, we were discussing the excellence of Islamic knowledge. In this regard, we have learnt many Quranic verses, some hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, lessons that is derived from those verses and the prophetic traditions. And we have also learnt few parables from our pious predecessors, subhanallah. And one Quranic parable of Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. But why don't we, after all of this motivation, we still fail to achieve and acquire the knowledge of Islam? Because shaitan is very hard at work. He doesn't want us to learn and acquire the knowledge of Islam. It is recorded that all the devils, all the shaitans, they assemble at the sea. Then the shaitan's throne is laid on the sea, and the day's reports of his agents are presented to him as to, you know, who did what. And some say that I made so much people drink liquor. Yes, shayateen, they present their reports. I made so many people, you know, drink liquor and alcohol. Some shayateen, they come and say, well, we made so many people commit zina and adultery. Allahu Akbar. Then different crimes they provoked people to do, and they all give their reports. They made this person do this wrong and that wrong and so on and so forth. And he was listening to each of them. Then one shaitan says, today I obstructed a certain student from studying deen. Upon hearing this, the shaitan jumps up from his throne and hugs him, saying, Anta, Anta, you did the best job. You did the best job. Allahu Akbar. The other shaitans, when they saw this, and they became very delusional, they said, we did so many great things, and we received no credit for it. Why do you have so much of praises for this shaitan who obstructed a single student from studying deen? The big shaitan replied, whatever you have done requires no credit, because if those people possessed knowledge, they would not have committed such sins. Knowledge is the biggest weapon against sins. And this is coming from shaitan. That is why he prevents us from seeking knowledge. The shaitan then asked his followers to show him where an ignorant worshipper lived, just to teach them a lesson. The next morning, before sunrise, the shaitan took his followers to the ignorant worshipper. He disguised himself as a human and waited at the roadside while the rest of the gang, they hid nearby to watch what happens. The ignorant worshipper, he performed his salatul tahajjud, and then he was proceeding towards the masjid for Fajr Salah. The shaitan intercepted that worshipper, and they happened to have a dialogue. Shaitan says, sir, I would like to ask you a question. And the worshipper said, hurry up, because I'm on my way for Salah. The shaitan then puts his hand in his pocket and takes out a small bottle and shows it to the worshipper and asks him, is it possible for Allah Azza wa Jal to put the skies and earth into this small bottle? The worshipper now, he thinks for a moment and then says, are you kidding? How is it possible for the vast earth and skies to fit into that tiny bottle? Shaitan quickly says, thank you, this is all I wanted to know. Now you may proceed to the masjid for salah. The shaitan then says to his gang who were hiding, did you see how I misled him? That ignorant worshipper has no iman on the qudrat and the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. The shaitan then took his agents to visit an alim. It was nearly sunrise when they saw an alim rushing towards the masjid. The shaitan hurried to him, and shaitan says, I would like to ask you a question. The alim says, ask me quickly, because there is very little time left for salah. Shaitan says, presenting the little bottle and asks the very same question, is it possible for Allah Azza wa Jal to fit the skies and the earth into this tiny bottle? The alim says, idiot, you seem to be the devil and Shaitan. He is all powerful. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal is all powerful. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Verily, verily, Allah Azza wa Jal can do anything that He ordains. This alim said this and he rushed towards the masjid. The Iblis, the leader of shaitans, he said to his followers, did you see the blessings of ilm, the blessings of knowledge? Allahu Akbar, which is our topic for today. The blessings, excellence of knowledge. If you want to stay safe from the tricks of shaitan, stay safe from sins, then this is now time to engage in the knowledge of Islam, in the knowledge of Quran, in the knowledge of Hadith, the knowledge of Fiqh, Subhanallah, the Seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which will provide a light of guidance for us for the rest of our life to brighten our path, inshallah. So until next time, we'll come back to you with different topics. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, until then, keep reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace.